Heavenly Father, as we open your word, we pray that you will open our hearts to receive all that you want to speak to us, the risen Lord Jesus. For we ask this in your name. Amen. I wonder, do you have a passion for something? Golf? Football? Baking? Music? What is your passion? And how much time and expense do you give to it? I'm always amazed at football fans. They follow their team and they go all over the country, wherever they're playing, whether it's a away game or a home game, or maybe they go to overseas and watch them play there and spending time and money to do so. And then when their team wins, they party into the night and celebrate with great rejoicing. Well, in our resurrection account that we have in John's Gospel that's just been read to us, we see that Mary was passionate. She was passionate about following the Lord Jesus. How do we know that? Well, let's have a look at the story. First of all, she went out in the dark. She was passionate to attend to the body of Jesus. Her passion and love for Jesus overruled her fear of the dark, her fear of the Jewish authorities, her fear of the Roman authorities, or any unsavory character that might have been about. And in contrast, we have the disciples who are drowning in their sorrow and grief, locked away in a room, locked away by fear. But Mary went and she sought Jesus. Seeking is the first step to being surprised by joy. The joy that we see comes later. She too, of course, was filled with grief. She was asked why she was weeping. But her grief didn't stop her seeking Jesus. First thing in the morning, while it was still dark. Is that what we do? Do we start the day by seeking Jesus even before we get into the busyness of the day? It's not an easy thing to do, is it? I'm a bit of a doer, and so I find, well, I just put the washing in before I read my Bible, or I'll just do. Well, I'm learning not to do that, to spend time with Jesus first. There's no better way to begin the day. And when Mary went to the tomb, she found that the stone had been removed. And so she didn't understand, but she knew that something was wrong. The body wasn't there. The stone had been removed. And so she shared what she knew with Peter and John. Sometimes we're afraid to share what we know because we think we don't know enough. But Mary didn't. She went to Peter and John. She said, well, something's happening. The stone's not there. And so they went with her back to the tomb. And they saw the linen wrappings in the tomb. What did they think? John, who wrote the gospel, says he saw and believed. But in the next phrase, it says they didn't yet understand that he must rise from the dead. So I'm not quite sure what he believed at that stage. Maybe it was in retrospect John said he believed, because they still didn't understand. But Peter and John, they didn't hang around the tomb. They had seen and they went. Why? Were they afraid? Maybe they thought they would be accused of stealing the body. But Mary stayed. She stayed in the place where she last saw Jesus. And she, in her grief, wanted to be in that special place, a holy place, to feel and experience the place where Jesus had been buried. And staying there gave her a new understanding and experience. First of all, she saw two angels, verse 12, and they spoke to her. Have you seen angels? Have they spoken to you? Let me know afterwards. Some people do. I've not yet had that privilege. But then she turned around and she saw Jesus, her risen Lord. But she didn't expect to see Jesus. And so she didn't recognize him. I wonder if that's happened to you sometimes. You meet someone that actually you know quite well, maybe from work or somewhere, and you see them in a different place, maybe a different country, a different time and place, and you think, I don't know who they are. They know me, but I don't know who they are. I've had that happen to me a few times. And because of that, she didn't expect to see Jesus. She didn't recognize who he was. With those tears and the grief, she just thought he was the gardener until he spoke her name, Mary. Jesus knows your name. He knows our name and he calls us by name. I wonder when we seek Jesus, when we read his word, the Bible, do we expect Jesus to speak to us? He does, and he's promised to speak to us. He's told us that his word, the Bible, is a living word. But isn't it easy just to read the Bible just as a storybook or a documentary? But no, Jesus said, it's a living word, and I want to speak to you by name. So what he says to you or me, even though we read the same words, will be different. But the trouble is, sometimes we don't stay long enough in his presence. And often we don't expect to meet with him. The disciples ran back, but Mary stayed. And because she stayed in that place, she saw Jesus for herself and was full of joy. She met the risen Lord Jesus. She was surprised by the joy of the Lord. Her grief was suddenly changed to joy. And she now knew. She had this intimate relationship with Jesus, the risen Lord. And so her faith was secure. She was one who sought, who stayed, who saw, and secured her faith. But it didn't stay there because she shared her faith. She went back and said, guess what? I've met with the risen Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. What an example for us to follow. To truly seek Jesus, to stay in his presence. Don't just read the Bible and close it quickly and then rush off to do whatever you've got to do. But to stay in the presence of Jesus and ask him to speak so that you can see him more clearly, so that you can secure your faith. We can be assured in our faith that Jesus has risen. And I see too many Christians who say, well, I'm not quite sure whether I'm going to heaven or not. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus says, I have come to give you life and life for eternity. We go through death. We will be risen like our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we can share this faith on our front lines. Let's look more closely at Jesus. He was buried in the tomb. But Jesus had said, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. Great words that we can proclaim at the funeral service. So nothing, absolutely nothing, could keep Jesus dead. Not the grave clothes. Do you remember when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead? He was stood there in all his grave clothes. And somebody had to unbind him. But not with Jesus. The grave clothes were still there in the tomb. Nothing could keep Jesus dead. Not even a large stone. And Mark's gospel tells us it was a very large stone. And Matthew's gospel tells us that the soldiers came to make the tomb secure. But Jesus conquered death and was alive. The grave clothes were still there, but his body wasn't. He now had a resurrection body that was the same but different. In verse 19 and 20, we're told that the disciples saw his hands and his side that had been pierced. But Jesus appeared to them in a locked room. So his body was also different. But Jesus came to bring peace. Peace to Mary, peace to the disciples, and peace to you and me. His peace passes all understanding and takes away fear. Jesus is the only one, the Son of God, who's made it possible for each of us to live in the hope and assurance that death is not the end for us. We will be raised to eternal life. We will be with Jesus. That is wonderful. So, what is your relationship with Jesus? Are you like Mary? Do you seek him? Do you stay in his presence to meet with him? Have you met him for yourself? Or do you hide away in fear, like the disciples? Fear of what? Fear of how your life may be changed, because it will be changed if you believe in Jesus Christ and allow him into your life. But I can tell you it will be changed for the better. Life with Jesus is exciting. It's an adventure. And it goes on being an adventure. How wonderful is that? But sometimes fear keeps us locked away. Keeps us afraid of what other people might say or what they may think. And what will we say at work? And what will we say to our neighbors? Or what might I say to my spouse or my children? Or maybe we're a little bit like the chiefs, priests and the Pharisees. You see, they didn't accept that Jesus was the Son of God. It didn't fit with their lifestyle. It didn't fit with their religion. And you know, sometimes the risen Lord Jesus doesn't fit with our religion either. And yet, you know, the chief priests and Pharisees, they believed something. Because they were the ones who said, now hold on, this man, Jesus, he said that on the third day he would raise to life again. They understood more than some of the followers of Jesus. And so they said, please make sure that that tomb is secure because we don't want anybody saying that he's risen to life again. Do you know what? Those chief priests and Pharisees, they knew that something was real. And you know, some of us are like that, aren't we? We hedge our bets. We kind of, you know, we pay lip service to our religion, but actually, we don't really commit ourselves. And yet, yeah, you know, there could be something there. There could be something real. Well, I'm here to tell you that Jesus is real. I've been a Christian many years now, and there's no better way to live your life. Jesus Christ said, I've come to give you life and life in all abundance. Live life to the full in Jesus' name and you will never be disappointed. The joy of the risen Lord Jesus is experienced by those who meet him, who receive his forgiveness and his new life. Where are you this morning, this risen Easter day? Did you wake up with the joy of the Lord because it's Easter day? What group would you put yourself in? A seeker who sees and secures faith and shares their faith with others. I pray that that would be true for each one of us here this morning. Or are you still one of those who's fearful, unwilling to step out and seek Jesus? Or are you one of those who is indifferent to Jesus or who denies Jesus and yet deep down knows that you ought to look more closely? Jesus has died, but Jesus is risen, and today he is seated at the right hand of the Father, and his love goes out to each one of you here, no matter how young or how old or how what is in between. Jesus loves you. That's why he hung on a cross, and we have an empty cross because Jesus is risen. He's alive today, and he wants to help you to live your life to the full. The Bible says, don't delay, for today is the day of salvation. I encourage you, if you've not yet committed your life to the Lord Jesus, to ask him to come into your life today, to ask for his forgiveness, and to ask him to help you to live your life to the full. Life's exciting with Jesus by your side. And all who believe in him will live now and forever. We can be assured that we too will have a risen life with the Lord Jesus for eternity. Amen.